الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد جاءكم من الله نور وكتاب مبين، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected elders, ulama, brothers, mothers, and sisters, and beloved children, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, my colleague, Maulana Muhammad Ashraf Saab of London, has presented the profile of myself to you, and it reminds me of the peacock. When you look at the peacock from a distance, you will see the kaleidoscope of colors. But when that peacock looks at itself, and it looks at its own feet, then that peacock feels very ashamed. And it closes its feathers because it knows that the feathers are not so, the feet are not so beautiful like the feathers that it is exposing and displaying. So we all know what our weaknesses and shortcomings are, but it is their muhabbat, and Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla grant them the reward for inviting me. And I do place on record my sincerest thanks for that, and to all of you for granting me this opportunity to share a few words with you. It is my first visit to Leicester, and the topic assigned to me by Mawlana Sindhi Sahib, our respected Imam, is Siratul Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. We as the Ummah and Muslimah, irrespective of where we might be in any part of the world, it is imperative that we know the Seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. One is the one we learn in the madrasa. Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam was born in Makkah. At the age of 53, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam migrated to Medina Munawwara. At the age of 63, he passed away, and so forth and so on. In today's talk, my brothers and sisters in Islam, my aim is not that. Rather, my aim is fiqhu sirah. The lessons we need to learn and derive from the Mubarak life of the Master Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe that before the birth and advent of the Master, Irahas takes place. Hamza, Ra, Ha, Alif, Sword, I-R-H-A-S, Irahas. Some extraordinary events takes place before the advent and the birth of a Nabi, any Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam. Tomorrow morning, before the disk of the sun appears, you will see Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla telling us and showing us that there's already light on the horizon, and then the glorious sun makes its appearance. You see the disk of the sun appearing. The sun is no comparison to the Master Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So before the Master alayhi salatu wasalam makes his appearance, Almighty Allah lets certain events and incidents occur. And therefore the Arabs used to say, Wulida an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wasallam aam al-fil, that he was born during the year of the elephant. And each one of you know the incident that when Abraha came with his elephants and he wanted to destroy the Baytullah, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed him. So that is known as Irahas. A supernatural event takes place before the birth and advent of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Our Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha, the mother of the Master, peace be upon him, what does she tell us? Nabi alayhi salatu salam tells us the hadith is in Musnad Ahmad, Ana da'watu Ibrahim, I am the dua of Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Most of us, I presume and assume, went for Umrah or for Hajj. And you saw the Baytullah in all its glory. Today is Wednesday night. Last week, Wednesday night, I was there by the Baytullah performing the Umrah. Alhamdulillah. May Almighty Allah take us again, inshallah. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and his son Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam completed the building of the Baytullah, they did not just admire it. They made du'as. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Oh Allah, accept this on our behalf. The great Mubarak month of Ramadan is on our threshold. When we fast, we should not just be pleased with the fasting, rather we should be begging for acceptance of Almighty Allah as well. And then the next dua he made, رَبَّنَا وَبَأَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Oh Allah, in the midst of this valley here, where there is no vegetation, no habitation, you send the greatest of all humanity. The dua was made by Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam. Ana da'watu Ibrahim wa bushra Isa. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam came and he gave the glad tidings. Bukhari Sharif's hadith from Isa alayhi salatu salam's time right up to Sayyiduna wa Habibuna Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu salam's time, 6 centuries, 600 years gap from the time Isa alayhi salatu salam went to the heavens. So already that time he made dua, or he informed the people, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَاتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. After me, a Nabi would come and his name would be Ahmad alayhi salatu wasalam. The mother of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, what did she say? وَرَأَتْ أُمِّي أَنَّهُ خَرَجَ مِنْهَا نُورٌ. My mother, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, tells us that she saw light and luster emanating from her. This is in Makkah Mukarramah. And that light and luster was emanating the buildings and the palaces right there in Palestine, in Syria and Jordan. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam came to remove the darkness in which the people were groping. Let us go quickly. We will just fast forward. Let us come to a topic that is not normally discussed. Who were the murdi'at of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, the foster mothers of Nabi alayhi salatu salam? In madrasa we learned Sayyida Halima Sa'adiyya radiallahu anha, and Nabi alayhi salatu salam did not forget her favor and bounty. When he grew up and she was walking, he took his Mubarak shawl and he placed it on the ground and told her to sit down there to honor his foster mother. Who was the second lady? I'm not speaking about the biological mother, Sayyida Amina. Obviously, she also breastfed. The next lady was Umme Ayman. Who's Umme Ayman? Umme Ayman is the lady whose name is Baraka. She hailed from Africa. She was a lady black in complexion. Yes, brothers and sisters in Islam. And she breastfed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Her name was Baraka. The agnomen and kunya was Umme Ayman. And this is what Islam teaches us. It is said but true in our society today, we judge people with the language with what they speak or the color they possess. Whereas that is a sign and a manifestation of the power of Almighty Allah. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. That Almighty Allah has made different languages and different colors and complexions as a manifestation of His sign and symbol. But today we use that as a sign of superiority. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's murdia and foster mother, Umme Ayman, her love she had for Nabi alayhi salatu salam, go open Sahih Muslim. The demise of Nabi alayhi salatu salam takes place. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, Shaykhain, the greatest of companions, go and visit Umme Ayman. And what happens? She's weeping and crying like a small child. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma ask her, O Umme Ayman, what makes you cry so much? Is not Nabi alayhi salatu salam gone to a better place? She answers in the affirmative, definitely he's gone to a better place. But why do you cry so much? Listen to the answer, my respected mothers and sisters. She says, with the demise of the master, إِنَّ الْوَحْيَ قَدْ انْقَطَعَ. That the wahi, The ta'alluq, the connection between the arsh and the farsh, the link between the heavens and the earth, now is ceased forever. Never will wahi come down again. Therefore, I am crying so much. Their love for Quran. Just now we heard Maulana reading. Wonderful melodious qirat. My brothers, Ramadan is not only the time to read Quran. Reading and fasting during Ramadan is a duty. And reading Quran is the beauty of Ramadan. But we need to understand, when this ummah attaches itself to the Quran, Allah will elevate us. And when this ummah detaches itself from the Quran, Almighty Allah would disgrace and humiliate us. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Allah has called this Quran the Ruh. Can that pilot, can that plane go without a pilot? Can that ship go without a captain? Can this ummah progress when they have divorced and detached themselves from the Ruh? It cannot happen. So my brothers, coming back to the murdi'at and the ladies who breastfed Nabi alayhi salatu salam, we have his biological mother, Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha. We have Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha. Thereafter we have Sayyidah Umm Ayman and the fourth lady, Sayyidah Thuwayba radiallahu anha. Do we know who is Sayyidah Thuwayba radiallahu anha? This is the sadness and the tragedy, my brothers, and I need to be honest about this. We are today in England or in Leicester, and what happens? You ask from a young boy, tell father, brother, father, dada, grandfather, ask him, how's the match going on today? From the goalkeeper till the forward, everybody would know. Our mothers, sisters, masters in Bollywood, our fathers and brothers, masters in Hollywood, and the children, masters in Robin Hood. How are we as a ummah going to progress, brothers? If someone has to come and ask you this question, please explain to me that who breastfed Nabi alayhi salatu salam? What happened on the Mubarak Miladun Nabi when Nabi alayhi salatu salam was born? What happened on that occasion? This is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. What happened on that occasion? Abu Lahab was so handsome, he was white in color, fair in complexion. He was called Abu Lahab, the father of flame. Almighty Allah says, سَيَسْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. He is so fair, but he's going to go into the lahab, into that fire, because he did not accept the message of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a female slave, Thuwayba. The birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes place. Thuwayba comes running, and with the news and the bishara and the glad tidings that Nabi alayhi salatu salam is born, Abu Lahab takes his finger like this and he points in her direction. Anti hurra, go, you are free, you emancipated. Because he emancipated, liberated a lady, Thuwayba, who later on subsequently breastfed the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam. In Bukhari is mentioned every Monday, because of that good deed of his, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla makes takhfif in his punishment. Almighty Allah decreases the punishment. He experiences some water here to decrease the chastisement which he's experiencing. So imagine, brothers, that that was what happened during the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Let us go to another topic. You are interacting with non-Muslims every day in your shop, in your job, in your workplace. Same like South Africa. We are 2%, 3%, 5%. We are minority. If a person comes to you and asks you a question, why do you need a messenger, a prophet? Why do you need the Quran? You cannot tell him, I need the Quran because the Quran says so. Or the Quran says we must believe in a messenger. That's not good enough an answer. He does not believe in the Quran. You need to give a logical explanation. What will your logical explanation be? Your logical explanation will be, we as human beings are the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation. Almighty Allah has blessed us with senses. He has given us our eyes, our ears, our sense of touching, tasting, so forth and so on. While driving your smart car, you see on the tar road a mirage. And when you reach there, you find there is no water. What happened? Our own eyes deceived us. We call that an optical illusion. We say, my own eyes are deceiving me. Hence, we cannot rely on our senses because they are prone to error. Higher than our senses, our intelligence and intellect. Today, when you look at various governments of the world, that is what they rely on when they formulate their constitutions. Every person's intelligence and intellect. So they say that we will use our intelligence, our intellect, and we will form our constitution. You've been to Makkah Mukarramah, most of you, I assume. You kiss the Hajar al-Aswad. Do you know what is a Hajar al-Aswad? The Hajar al-Aswad is not the silver that you see around. It is not the dark brown you see in the background. You need to look properly and you will find that there are 8 pearls there, all broken into pieces. Those 8 pearls that are broken into pieces, that is Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone. How come it broke? When you study the history of Makkah Mukarramah, you will know there were a group of people called the Karamita. And when they realized that their power is declining, they took out the Hajar al-Aswad, and the Muslims obviously chased them and pursued them. They took the Hajar al-Aswad and they smashed it to pieces. Now why am I telling you this? These same people had the ideology and philosophy. What did they say? They say that if you have something in your own home, that is superior, that is better, will you give that to any other person and who's an outsider and take something from outside that is inferior and bring that in your home? What will each one of us say? Will we do it? No. Or based on logic, we would say no. They used this analogy and logic and said, the Karamita, they said that why must I allow, this is their thinking, why must I allow my sister to get married to someone else and she is so attractive and so beautiful, rather he himself gets married to her, Allah forbid, committing incest, than getting married to someone else from outside who is less attractive than his sister. I'm asking you, brothers and sisters in Islam, on the basis of logic, can you break this argument? On the basis of logic, can you break this argument? You can never break this argument. You come to my country, I don't know much about here. I was at the airport in Johannesburg a few months ago. So I was a bit late, my wife was with me, I traveled with my wife. Those of you who got Channel Islam International, you know, I say no wife, no life, you know. So I traveled with my wife. So I was running before they closed the gate. So there were 4 non-Muslims, they're Africans. So I told them, hold it, don't close the gate, my wife is coming. I said, no, don't worry, wait. So he told me, oh, that's your wife, huh? I said, yes. He said, you see this chap? He pointed. I said, yes. He said, he's gay. Speak to him. So I went to him and I held him. I said, brother. He looks at me. I say, Adam, God Almighty created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. So now he looks at me and he says, that, what can I tell you? So brothers, when on the basis of logic, what will they say? The lady who is selling a body is saying this body head to toe belongs to me. I can do whatever I want to with it. That lady who has the innocent child, the unborn baby in her womb, she will say she can abort it at any time. Because it is hers. So when you base arguments on logic, only on logic, remember that you cannot break that argument. So Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us Al-Quran, our Dustur, our Constitution, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, when he would take the noble Quran, before opening it, he would kiss the glorious Quran and say, Hada Dusturu Rabbi, this is the Constitution of my Allah. But the Constitution alone is not good enough for a human being. You have a swimming pool here in your home in Leicester. Tell your son to take a swimming manual and just read. And then tell him to go into that pool. It might be the first and the last swim he will take. You know he needs a swimming instructor. Tell him to take a driving manual and give him your car manual or automatic car. And you will see with how many dents it will come back. if you don't have a driving instructor. An ordinary car, you need an instructor. My sister's at home. You, your mother gives you the Indian Delights or some book to read and tells you that make the samosas, you might find square samosas coming out. Why? Because she did not have a necessary trainer, demonstrator. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed us with who? Rahmatul lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khatamun Nabiyeen. So understand, my brothers, why? Remember my question? The non-Muslim asked you a gentle inquiry. Why do you need Quran? Why do you need a messenger? So you tell him that we cannot rely on our senses. They are prone to error, the example of the optical illusion, the mirage. We cannot rely on our logic, because my logic, your logic, every person's logic is what? Is not perfect. It is always going to be slanted, and we can see that in today's man-made constitutions. We need something that is supra-logical. And what is that supra-logical? That Quran, that messenger, that stand the test of time, and more than 1400 years has passed, and the Quran is still in its pristine purity. In 2 weeks' time, your son would be standing here and reading the glorious Quran from cover to cover. You understood now, my brothers, why we need a messenger? Why we need the Quran? So this is the reason. Now we can go, I was telling you about Fiqh al-Sirah. Who is Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? The tragedy today, brothers, is Almighty Allah revealed in the dusty cave of Hira, the first verse, this ummah, we have divorced ourselves from it. Iqra, read. When last did you read something about Islam? When last? Be honest to ourselves. We are totally a nation today who say, I am not going to read. When we do not read, brothers, you will always be a follower. You will always be influenced by others. Whereas your rank, your status was to be a leader and to influence the life of others. Knowledge is power, and power will make you a leader. But the ummah today is so ignorant, so far from knowledge, that we have divorced and detached ourselves from Iqra. What is the maqam, the rank, the status of the master, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Just take few verses at random, there's no time. When najmi idha hawa, when a waw comes and the noun, the ism that is there has a kasra, that waw comes for an oath. Wal fajri, wal asri, wal layli, wal shamsi. All these are oaths, and Allah is taking a qasam. Allah takes a qasam of the star that is falling down. What is the greater meaning? Allah is taking a qasam of the Quranic verses coming down. That the Quran is coming down, O Ummat Muhammadiyah. Now you, the Ummah, recognize the rank of the Nabi alayhi salatu salam. The Quraysh, the polytheist in Makkah used to say, Allah forbid, naqala kufr, kufr nabashid. I'm telling you what they say. They used to say, there is a defect, Allah forbid, in the intelligence of the master. Allah answered. Same surah, same chapter. Ma dhalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa. There is no defect in the intelligence of the master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah praises the brain and intelligence and intellect of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. The tongue of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Wa ma yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wahyu yuha. He does not speak of his own desires. It is but revelation that is revealed upon him. Coming to the blessed heart, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. The heart does not see wrong, does not speak wrong. It is always pure. The eyes of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. The eye has not deviated of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Every major limb Allah mentioned of the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam. And then to cap it all, what did Allah say? From head to toe, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, everything of yours, action, speech, your approval, is not only rahmah for the time that in which you live in, for all times, all places, not only for humanity, but for the entire creation of Almighty Allah. That is the Nabi which Almighty Allah has blessed us. You know the surah, but you do not know the import. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, two parts. Before Nubuwa, surah wa-duha. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. A yatim. Who wants to look at the yatim today? You are on the doorstep of Ramadan, brothers and sisters in Islam. Pass that resolve and resolution today. Every day in Ramadan, I will do one special action. I will go to a yatim and I'll put a smile on the yatim. I will do a special action which I never did in the 11 months of the year. That is what Ramadan is all about. Tahriq al-dhunub. That we incinerate and burn our sins. Ma qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la illa fi kalimati la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The Arab alim, while delivering his discourse, what did he say? The master Nabi alayhi salatu salam, during the month of Ramadan, he never uttered the word Allah except in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Always, Bukhari's hadith, وَإِنَّ جُودَهُ أَكْثَرْ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَى. You know what the damage the hurricanes are causing? Nabi alayhi salatu salam was more generous than a violent and strong wind during the month of Ramadan. Should learn, this is akhlaq, this is the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. My brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was yatim, fa'awa, Almighty Allah gave him shelter. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى. He did not have the Qur'an. Allah gave him the Qur'an. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا. He was poor. Allah enriched him. Everything was against him. Now come to the next surah. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not expand your bosom and your heart, O Nabi alayhi salatu salam? Go in front. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We elevated thy name, and you're mentioning, O Nabi alayhi salatu salam. The hadith of Qudsi, إِذَا ذُكِرْتُ ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي. When my name, Allah Azza wa Jalla's name, Allah says, is taken, your name also is taken with it. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The adhan, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُهُ. This is the rank and the maqam of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, brothers. Let us go quickly. I told you we have to just fast forward. We are in a time where we are very content that we are going to be fasting during the day, we are going to be reading Taraweeh at night, maybe between Asr and Maghrib we'll be sitting in the masjid making tilawat of Quran. Is that sufficient, brothers? No, it's not sufficient. Why is it not sufficient? Ask yourself this one question. Today we're discussing Siratul Nabi alayhi salatu salam. It was the 8th year of the Hijrah. It was the 21st of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is entering. The leaders of Makkah are standing. They know what they did to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu in that sand of Makkah. They knew what they did to Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, the first martyr in the history of Islam. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu came. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered, he entered. He looked at Abu Sufyan and the leaders, who were non-Muslim at that time. And he said, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of Malhama. This is Malhama. Today the laham, today the meat will fly. Today we're going to fix you up. Nabi alayhi salatu salam enters. Abu Sufyan, the leader, say, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Sa'ad said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-yawmu yawmul marhama. Today is a day of mercy. Today is a day of compassion. Today is a day of forgiveness. Do you think rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot everything? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the Baytullah, wa alayhi imamatun sawda, he has a black turban. Show me any place in any time in the world where a revolution took place, that where there was no raping of women, where there was no plundering of wealth, where people did not lose their honor and dignity. Nabi alayhi salatu salam came. The Meccans, the vast majority of them at that time realized, we are in serious trouble. What do you think I am going to do with you? They said, you are Kareem, Ibnul Kareem, Ibnul Kareem. You are someone honorable, the son of someone honorable. We expect something honorable, Ya Rasulullah. He said, "Antum tulaqa, go, you are free." I tell you what Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum." This is the challenge, my brothers. You stay in Leicester, you stay in London, you stay here in one surf. We come for Laylatul Qadr, but you are not speaking to your Muslim brother. You one business deal went sour. Something happened. I proposed for someone's daughter. I didn't come here to get married, brothers. But, so, I proposed for someone's daughter. My brother proposed, and whatever. So what happened? It was turned down. We look at one another, and we turn our face away. And then you come for Ramadan. You beg Almighty Allah. His words of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Khan, Kholkar, Suno, Bayo. Listen, brothers and sisters. I'm making this very clear, the words of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Allah ukhbirukum. Must I not inform you of that? Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, "Bi afdal min darajati siyami wa sadaqati wa salat." It's better than your fasting. It's better than your charity. It's better than your salat. Sahabas asked, "Obviously, Ya Rasulullah, show us." Qala islahu dhatil bain. Bring about reconciliation. Nabi Tirmidhi Sharif's hadith. Next hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the malaika instructed, this person, that person, seven ties. All their good deeds, keep it one side in abeyance. Hatta yafi'a, hatta yastaliha. All our actions not accepted in the court of Allah until we reconcile. Islam tells you, brother, you are not speaking to that brother for 3 months, 1 year, from last year Ramadan. Now you're going to cry in front of Allah on Laylatul Qadr. You're going to cry in front of Almighty Allah during Ramadan. It's not accepted. Islam is asking you for two words. Go to your brother and say, "Assalamu alaikum." Islam does not say, you must become the best friend of that person. Islam does not say, you must do business with that person. But Islam does say, that you must make salam to that person. Is it so difficult, brothers? Ask yourself. Otherwise, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu salam is there. The akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Did he not forgive the people in Fateh Makkah? What was Fateh Makkah? يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When they saw that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, they came into Islam in their droves and droves and droves. This akhlaq we want. This is the deen we want. This is rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam's example and noble example that he set, that we want to emulate and imitate. So brothers, we need to rise up to that challenge there. Because today we live in a time, ghar ko aag lag gayi ghar ki chiraag se. We have become our worst enemies today. The Muslim ummah, everywhere outside we have big burglar gates, we have huge alarm systems, but inside our house, ghar ka chor, what is that? We don't speak to one another. What's all this about? Think about it seriously. I don't know you, you don't know me, maybe you heard my voice on the radio. But brothers, this is one of the biggest crimes this ummah is committing. You know how important unity is in Islam? I'll give you 2-3 examples only quickly. You went to Medina Munawwara. On that Saturday, maybe you went to Masjid Quba. It's sunnah to go there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go mashi and orakiba. Sometime walking, sometime mounted on an animal. So next to Masjid Quba, there is a masjid. Quran calls it a masjid. Today you will find an open terrain there, open territory. That masjid, there what Quran said? وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا دِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. Those people, the munafiqeen and hypocrites of Medina Munawwara, outwardly only they said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, inside was nothing. They built a masjid, the masjid of mischief making, Masjid al-Dirar. وَكُفْرًا, to propagate kufr. وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to cause fragmentation, disunity in the rank and file of the Muslims. وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهِ, to make it a headquarters to fight Almighty Allah and Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Allah forbid. It was at the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for the expedition of Tabuk. They came to Nabi alayhi salam, please come and read salat here. He said, I'll think about it, I'll come later on. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning, the Quranic verse, لا تقوم فيه أبدا, do not ever go and stand there. These verses are revealed. Go open Tafsir Ibn Kathir, go open Tafsir Fakhruddin Razi, any Tafsir that is authentic. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his sahabas and companions, beloved companions, you go there and you raise that masjid to the ground, you burn it. Who will burn a masjid? Yeah, rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were many reasons, but one reason was what? To cause fragmentation in the rank and file of this ummah. Open, I'll give you the references. Open Bukhari Sharif, Babu Ta'lif al-Quran. Who will burn a Quran today? Only an enemy of Islam will do so. In the time of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the people came to Sayyidina Uthman, Amirul Mu'mineen, and told him, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, these people of Azerbaijan, these people of Armenia, they are at one another's necks, and there is fear a civil war will break out. He is saying his recitation of the Quran is correct. He is saying that his recitation is correct. The Quran has various types of recitation. But there is fear that they are going to fight to such an extent. You better take control and you have one official script of the Quran. Sayyidina Uthman, Amirul Mu'mineen, summoned the Sahabas. They had a big mashura and meeting. All the Qur'ans were to them, go open Bukhari Sharif. Sayyidina Uthman took the Qur'ans and he burnt it. I ask you brothers in Islam, why did Sayyidina Uthman burn the Qur'ans? The Ummah's unity must be preserved and maintained at all times. A masjid was burnt in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time. Qur'ans are burnt in the golden era when Sahabas were alive. Allah Azza wa Jalla changed the constitution, brothers. You go outside, you meet a Jew, you meet a Christian, you meet a Hindu, you meet a Buddhist, any person, any faith. Go ask him, to speak a lie in your religion is what? He will tell you, unacceptable, not permissible. What Islam teaches us? Islam teaches us three places. Three places is acceptable. Where's the first place? A and X are not talking. I go, you go. You go to A and tell him, Mr. X, he wants to speak to you, but he's feeling shy, he doesn't know how to approach you. You are speaking lies all the time. You are not giving the correct information. But through your misinformation, you brought about reconciliation, one of the greatest deeds you ever did in your life. لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابُ الَّذِي يُسْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He is not a liar who brings about people and brings about reconciliation between them. The constitution, one clause gets changed. You go home now, your wife has cooked a wonderful dessert, second place, and she made a real mess of it. Right? But not to break her heart. You tell her, oh my darling, my sweetheart, what a wonderful meal this was, or dessert it is. Hadithul Rajuli Imratahu. Vice versa. You went to the barber. The barber cut your hair and made a big mess also. When you enter the house, the wife looks and you look like a real clown. So, what does the wife say? Oh, my husband, you look so handsome today, better than you ever looked even on your wedding day. So to enhance that marriage, Islam allowed. And al-harbu khuda in the battlefield. Three places. A and X are best of friends. Understand what Islam is. Understand what Rahmatul Lil Alameen alayhi salatu salam is. A and X are best of friends. A told me X is a makki juice, he's a bakhil, he's a kanjus, he's a miser, he's a stingy guy and this and that. A told me about X. I went and I told X, this is what your so-called friend said. I spoke the truth, I spoke lies. Spoke the truth. Permissible in Islam or not permissible? Not permissible. Subhanallah, our deen. You speak the truth, you committed a sin. You speak lies, you get ibadat for it. Why? What is the rationale? Where you spoke lie, you reconciled people. And where you spoke the truth, you caused fragmentation in this ummah. You caused disunity in this ummah. So therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة قطات. You see what is Rahmatul Lil Alameen alayhi salatu salam. The great month is here, brothers. Right on our doorstep. If me and you cannot get united, yea in Leicester, yea in England, yea in UK, wherever we are, South Africa, And we think that Allah is going to accept our ibadat, our crying and whatever. But we have fragmented ties. We are not speaking. We tell him, we tell our wife, you do it my way or you catch the highway. And these things here. This mentality of ours is based on one quality. And what is that quality? The quality of arrogance and pride. Shaitan, Iblis, when Almighty Allah told him, you make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, what did he say? You tell me to make sajda to him? Ma mana'aka Allah tasjuda idha amartuk. What prevented you, O Shaitan? You did not make sajda when I commanded you? Qala ana khayrun min. I'm better than him. Khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire, flame goes upwards. And you created him from sand and clay that remains on the ground. I'm superior. Why should I go to A? Why should I go to X? I'm better than him. We bring the slogan of shaitan in our life and we cry to Allah. Do you get my point, my brothers? Rahmatul Alameen taught us something else. Last point I want to make, my brothers. The demise of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. It was one of the saddest moments this Ummah had to go through. We go to our sister, our mother, we can call her in fact. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when we asked her, what happened during that time? She said, Subbat alayya masaibu, law annaha subbat alal ayyami sirna layaliya. She said, the calamity that befallen me when the demise of the Master Nabi alayhi salatu salam took place, if that calamity had to fall on the day should transform into night. So my brothers, at that time, what message did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam give us? One message, as-salah, as-salah. Today we come here, we read salat, you youth, you youngsters, up, down, kiss the ground, back to town. So, that is not salat. We play with our salat today. As-silatu bayn al-abdi wa rabbi. Salat is the link, the connection between ourselves and Almighty Allah. The salat has to be a quality salat. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. We come with our mobiles and makes a big racket. I just come from the haram. Right when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is buried, there the mobile phones are ringing, musical tones. The thing Nabi alayhi salatu salam came to destroy, we please take it right inside the masjid, right by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What tawheen is this? What disrespect is this? Think about all this. Number one, guard our salah. Explain that to our mothers and sisters as well. Number two, wama malakat aymanukum. What is Islam, brothers? Islam is to pray P-R-A-Y to Allah. Islam is not to pray, P-R-E-Y, on the creation of Allah. We come here, long, long tasbih, long, long nafil namaz, long, long zikr and dua. How do we treat our wife? We treat our wife sometimes, I'm not saying all, but some of us, we treat them as though as they were slaves. Is that what Islam taught us? Is that the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam? You know what is the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam? Tahaddu, tahabbu. Give gifts to one another. When last you gave your wife a gift? When you paid the mahar 20 years ago? One day I was in a seminar and we opened the floor. The brother from there asked, at the back somewhere, why must we pay mahar the marital gift? So I said, brother, leave all the big, big philosophical answers. No pay, no play. So this thing. So. I think it burst some of you all. Anyway, I'm going to repeat it now. Okay. Brothers, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sayyidina Umar was a genius. Go read his life history. Qissa to Umar wal A'rabi. The Bedouin and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar is in his home. He can see through the door, the window, one A'rabi, one Bedouin comes, simple person. He comes right near to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'minin's home. He takes a U-turn, he's walking back. Sayyidina Umar says, we'll call him. He is summoned in front of Sayyidina Umar. Brother, you came here for a need. He said, no, just leave it. I don't want to speak about it. So what happens? Sayyidina Umar insists, you must tell me. He says, Ya Amirul Mu'minin, my wife and myself, we had an altercation. I just told her one word. She had paragraphs to me. When I deliver nikah lectures, I always tell the husbands, there are two types of husbands. One husband, the unintelligent one, and one, the intelligent one. The unintelligent husband, when his wife talk, you know the woman, they like to talk. So you say, shut up, keep quiet. The intelligent husband would tell his wife, oh my darling, you look so beautiful with your mouth closed. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, okay, your wife told you this, so what happened? Said, ya Amir al-Mu'minin, I came for counseling, guidance by you. I heard your wife giving you a bigger tongue lashing than my wife gave me. I said, this Amir al-Mu'minin, what is going to help me? He's in a worse situation than me. See the genius. He said, who cooks your food? He said, my wife. Who looks after your children? My wife. Who stitches your clothes? My wife. Who cleans your home? My wife. Like that, Sayyidina Umar and I ate one, you know, I don't know if you'll use this terminology here, but in South Africa we use it. I ate one, I say, who looks after your uplang money? You know uplang money? The money you don't tell the tax collector all about. The one you got underneath, you know. So brothers, Sayyidina Umar said, your wife fulfills 4 or 5 portfolios, and she did one thing, one day she spoke so much, you just want to go mad? Think what Sayyidina Umar is teaching us. Khair, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khairukum khairukum li ahlikum wa ana khairun li ahli. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. I am the best to my wife and my children. This is Siratu Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. So number one, we need to share gifts with one another. Mostly you should give her. Number two, when last did you make salam to your wife? Do we make salam to our wives? أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَأَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Must I not show you that action, that if you do it and carry it out, it will bring about mutual love between the two of you. And that action is أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make salam among you. You in your car and your wife come, she makes salam. She's waiting in the car and you come, make salam. You're going to go home now, before anything else, As-salam qabla al-kalam. Before you even, your home will become Dar es Salaam, a home of peace. So you got your gifts, you got your salam. Our mother, the consort of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, what did she say? She says the hadith in Sunan Nasai. She says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look at me, I used to take the glass of water. Anyway, I thought there is a glass here, there's no glass there. I would take the glass of water. And that when I would drink it, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, not only taking the same glass and drinking, the side from where I drank, this is the glass, the side from where I drank, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn that around and drink from there, wa ana haizun, while I was in my monthly. You got what love is, brothers? Say, darling, I love you. Drink wife water? No, there's germs inside. This is our love. When we were in school, and you know, in the schools, they should teach us about Romeo and Juliet and all these things there. When we went to Madrasa and Darul Uloom, so they taught us of Layla and Majnoon. Kullun yadda'i bi hubbi Layla, wa Layla la tuqirru bi dhaak. Each one used to tell Layla, I love you, I love you. Layla say, no one loves me. Only my Majnoon loves me. Majnoon means to be insane, you know, to be crazy. So someone came to Majnoon and told him, how could you fall in love with this Layla? Her teeth are also not straight. Her eyes are also squint. He said, you need the eyes of Majnoon to see the beauty of Layla. You go now home and tell your wife, you need your eyes to see her beauty. She will go for Mi'raj. Okay, brothers, I am coming to a conclusion now. Brothers, Jazakallahu Khair for giving me this opportunity. We need to be very serious. The month of Ramadan is coming. One dua we all should be making. Just yesterday, General Islam phoned me. I didn't even know. My own family, very close. My khalazad bhai, my maternal aunties, children and so forth, grandchildren. One Sunday, they were just going in the car. 4 of them died in one accident. So and one of them is serious in hospital. So we request you to make special dua for them also, inshallah. Brothers, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Nabi alayhi salatu salam. At this juncture, we should make this dua. اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان وبلغنا رمضان. Oh Allah, give us barakah and blessing for the remaining days of Shaban and make us of those who will experience another Ramadan. The farmer looks forward to his crops and harvest, and the businessman looks forward to the season when he's busy. The true Muslim looks forward to Ramadan because minimum effort, maximum reward. So each one of us should make that dua first thing. Number two, I'm sure you have a river here, a dam here or something. Or if you go to London, you got your ocean there. My brothers, you look at the bubble. Look at the bubble. And underneath the bubble, you see the water. This is the answer. This is a question Allah is asking you. Are you, O Muslim, going to become the bubble or are you going to become the water? فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. As for the bubble, it just disappears. It remains there on top for a little while. And then it disappears. So if you want to become the bubble, you will get the limelight, you will be there for a little while, but then you are nothing, you just disappear. So many people today in a Muslim ummah, they want the limelight, they want the big lights, they want this, and then they disappear. That is a sign and a symbol of batil, of falsehood, Quran says. What is the challenge we have to rise up to? وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You need to become that water. Water is an asset to the entire human race. O Ummat Muslima, you need to become an asset to the humanity at large. Not only Muslim or Arab or Indian. You need to become an asset to the entire human race. Then you will remain on this earth. Islam will then go on and on and on. Because the Ummat Muslimah is becoming an asset to all communities. A person who is hungry, a person who is thirsty, does not ask too many questions. Whether you give him wine or you give him swine, he will take it because he's hungry, because he's thirsty. And that is what's happening. Me and you as the Ummat Muslimah, we are not delivering the goods. So therefore outside we find that people are taking anything because we are not taking that light which Nabi alayhi salatu salam brought. I read the verse in the beginning. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam brought that light with him. He started one individual, leave everywhere else. When we just go to Arafat on the occasion of Hajj, 124 lights were there already. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah was asked, define Noor. He said, "Al-zahir li nafsihi wal-mudhir li ghayrihi." That your own heart is illuminated and you illuminate the hearts of others. The master's heart was the most illuminated heart and he illuminated till that time and till today is also. So we need to ask ourselves this question. How many hearts am I going to illuminate? The month of Ramadan is coming. How many people will I become a model example for them? How many people will I bring closer to Islam? This is our challenge, my brothers. The ball is in your court. You know about tennis? You know all the sports? Listen to the example. You have the ball in your court. Become the bubble and disappear. You did not have this Muslim ummah. Either become the water. The water is the essence of life. Then take Islam, the essence of people's prosperity. May Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla bless us all, that we can become the true water and take this deen of Islam to every part of the globe. Jazakumullah khair wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.